ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We read from Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, text 31. Svadharmam api javekshya na vikampitum arhasi dharmyat thi yudhach Shreya Anyat Kshatriyasya Na Vidyate Svadharmam Api Chaveksha Svadharmam Api Chaveksha Na Vikampitum Arhasi Na Vikampitum Arhasi Dharmyati yudhayat shrayanyat Dharmyati yudhayat shrayanyat Kshatriyasya navityate Kshatriyasya navityate Svadharmam One's own religious principles Api Also Cha, indeed, aveksya, considering, na, never, vikampitum, to hesitate, arhasi, you deserve, dharmyat, for religious principles, he, indeed, yudhat, then fighting, Shreya, better engagement, Anyat, any other, Kshatriyasya, for the Kshatriya, Na, does not, Vidyate, exist. Translation purport by Swami Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Considering your specific duty as a Kshatriya, You should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles, and so there is no need for hesitation. Purport. Out of the four orders of social administration, the second order, for the matter of good administration, is called Kshatriya. Kshat means herd. One who gives protection from harm is called Kshatriya. Trayate Trayate to give protection. The Kshatriyas are trained for killing in the forest. A Kshatriya would go into the forest and challenge a tiger face to face and fight with the tiger with his sword. When the tiger was killed, it would be offered the royal order of cremation. This system has been followed even up to the present day by the Kshatriya kings of Jaipur state. The Kshatriyas are especially trained for challenging and killing because religious violence is sometimes a necessary factor. Therefore, Kshatriyas are never meant for accepting directly the order of sannyas or renunciation. Non-violence in politics may be a diplomacy, but it is never a factor or principle. In the religious law books it is stated, Aha veshu mito nyonyam chikam santo mahikshitaha yudhamana param shaktya svargam yantya paran mukha yakeshu pashavo brahman hanyante satatam dvichai samskrita kilamantrascha tepi svargam avapnuvan In the battlefield, the king or kshatriya, while fighting another king envious of him, is eligible for achieving the heavenly planets after death, as the Brahmanas also attain the heavenly planets by sacrificing animals in the sacrificial fire. Therefore, killing on the battlefield on religious principles and killing animals in the sacrificial fire are not at all considered to be acts of violence. Because everyone is benefited by the religious principles involved. The animal sacrificed gets a human life immediately without undergoing the gradual evolutionary process from one form to another. And the Kshatriyas killed on the battlefield also attain the heavenly planets, as do the Brahmanas who attain them by offering sacrifice. There are two kinds of svadharmas, specific duties. As long as one is not liberated, one has to perform the duties of his particular body in accordance with religious principles in order to achieve liberation. When one is liberated, one's svadharma, specific duty, becomes spiritual and is not in the material bodily concept. In the bodily conception of life, there are specific duties for the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, respectively, and such duties are unavoidable. Svadharma is ordained by the Lord, and this will be clarified in the fourth chapter. On the bodily plane, svadharma is called Varnashrama Dharma, or man's stepping stone for spiritual understanding. Human civilization begins from the stage of Varnashrama Dharma, or specific duties in terms of the specific modes of nature of the body obtained. Discharging one's specific duty in any field of action is in accordance with the orders of higher authorities, serves to elevate one to a higher status of life. Svadharmam api chavekshya navikampitum arhasi dharmyati yudhashrayonyat kshatriyasya navidyate. Considering your specific duty as a Kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on the religious principles, and so there is no need for hesitation. Om Agyatimaranyasya Gananchana Salakyam Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Mancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nittananda Sahoditao Gaudadaya Pushpavanto Chita Shanda Tamonadao E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Banda Chagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So after many Shastric reasonings or statements or what the sages' opinion is, Krishna tried to encourage and inspire him to Arjuna to fight. Because Arjuna was in great dilemma, he didn't want to fight. He was too much overpowered by emotions. Emotions are mostly mind. Somebody who is intellectual, who is fixed on Shastra, is not easily moved by mind, because he has mind under control. He's a pandit. He has a controlled mind and senses. And the Brahmana, and also Kshatriya, they actually learned from very beginning in the when they go to Gurukula, they become trained in controlling mind, sense mind and control. Samena cha, tamena cha, tapasya brahmacharena, tamena cha, samena cha, tyagena satya sauchavyam, yamena and yamenava. So all these principles, they are trained by the guru. So if somebody is a brahmana, he's trained accordingly to these principles of tapasya brahmacharena, samena cha, tamena cha. In philosophical knowledge, in truthfulness, in following rules and regulations, in controlling mind and sense control, following sadhana, learning the scriptures. So a brahmana has three occupations, main occupations, studying the scriptures from guru, engaging in sacrifice or in deity worship or in yagya sacrifice, and in accepting accepting charity. And there are three more. If he is more further inclined, he can teach the scriptures. What he has learned, he teaches the process of yagya or worship of the Lord, and he is also giving in charity. This is the more advanced brahmana. But the minimum activity of a brahmana of training is studying scriptures, learning how to worship the Lord, and also the demigods in relation with the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and to accept charity, land, cows, grains, milk products like this. They get in charity. Because a brahmana doesn't need to go to work. He's very valuable. He's considered the head of the society. And as the head of the society, he's a very most important part of the body. As we all know, if a hand or arm is cut off, or even leg, then the body cannot exist. They can still exist, but if the head is cut off, cannot exist anymore. Stomach also. If the stomach is completely out, it can also not exist anymore. Belly. Belly represents the Vaishya class. The Kshatriyas are represented by the arms, strong arms. Mahabaho. Therefore Arjuna many times became complimented by Krishna as Mahabaho, very strong armed. Strong body means strong arm means also the body. If you cannot have strong arm and your body is not according to the shape of the arms. Looks very strange. So it must be in proper balance, in harmony with the entire body. So therefore the Kshatriya. Kshatriya means he represents the Lord's arms. Actually, this Varna and also the Ashrama, these four material and spiritual orders, social orders, are already given by Lord Narayana in the beginning of the creation, when the universe becomes manifested. At a certain point, also these varnas and ashramas became manifested for the human beings, so that the society of humans could act properly. So varnashrama is not meant for animals. We always hear, because they cannot follow this kind of principles of varna and ashrama. They only follow instinct. But a human being, because he has senses and mind, And they're mostly very strong. They have to be trained. They cannot be sentimental. It has to be trained by higher intelligence given by Guru. And therefore Arjuna's sentiment was like a woman. It's not appreciated if a kshatriya cries and laments and shivering in front of the battle. This is woman-like. But a kshatriya, he has to stand, he has to be the man, he has to be a warrior, fearless. Qualities are given in 1843 of the Bhagavad Gita. Shauryam, Techa, Tritir, Dakshyam, Yudhe, Chapi, Apalayanam, Tanam, Ishvara, Bhavascha, Kshatriyam, Karma, Svabhavacham. Heroism, that means Kshatriya has to be heroic. He cannot run away from the battle, turn his back against the battle, and he's a renegade, he's a weakling. He's afraid. So that's unheard of a real kshatriya. Later on Krishna says, if you will run away from battlefield, your enemies and everyone will blaspheme you, will criticize you. And that is the worst for a kshatriya, for a real kshatriya. Then if the people will, and especially great heroes, will look very much down to you. How useless, what a kind of loser you are, what a renegade you are. And there's nothing worse than that for a kshatriya. Better you die than to get such a kind of, to hear such kind of words about you. So kshatriya first he has to be trained in heroism, in fearlessness, in courage on the battlefield. To encourage anyone, enemies. Therefore, they are trained in the forest to go to fight against the tigers, and to be fearless against tigers and wild animals. Kshatriya never is afraid. People nowadays become afraid, even if they see a mosquito, or a fly, or anything, a little thing, immediately alarm, oh panic, a mosquito is here, immediately we have to put a mosquito machine on, or make spray, to get rid of him. So no problem. Like we hear for Karna. Karna was kshatriya, but nobody knew, because he was considered the son of Radha, Radheya. So his mother name was Radha. They were fisher family, and he was found by the husband of Radha in a river in a basket, Kunti, because it was her firstborn child from Surya. So she was very young at that time, not married. So she didn't want to get a bad name. The people speak rumors. She went with other men. She got a child already. Nobody would marry such a girl. So she thought, better I renounce this child. She put it in a basket and put it in a river and floated away. And then this fisherman, he found that child. He had natural armor. Means armor, golden armor on his body and earrings. Therefore his name was Karna. He was already born with the kshatriya symptoms. So he was grown up as son of this Suta, the means of this fisherman, who was not in very high range social order. And nobody knew that he was a kshatriya. But because although he was born he was grown up under a fisherman or a very simple family. Because he had a Kshatriya, codex, his his gains. That means his Svadharma. It was already in his blood, Kshatriya blood. That means even he was grown up with not Kshatriya family, his Kshatriya nature was completely manifest. And he also wanted to get training. He wanted to get weapons. So he went to Parushuram. But there was a problem with Parushuram, because Parushuram was a sworn enemy of the Kshatriyas. He decided, every Kshatriya who comes near me, whom I see, I will kill him. And in this way, 21 generations of Kshatriyas he killed. He removed from the earth. So Karna, he knew, I cannot go to this great master, Param master, great master, greatest of this Ram, Parushuram. I have to disguise myself and tell him I'm a Brahmana. Because only a Brahmana, he will teach the science of Dhanurveda. Not to Kshatriya. Kshatriya he would immediately kill. So Karna came in disguise, a Brahmana. So when Parushuram asked him, what is your Varna? So he thought, I'm Brahmin. I will teach you. So he gave him many mantras and lessons in martial art, Dhanurveda. And one time when Parushuram took rest, he took rest on the lap of Karna. It's a lap. Laptop. Like the computer is a laptop, you keep him on the lap. Or tight, as you like. Indian is tight. In America or in English, we say lap. The lap. Mother's lap or man's lap. So he took rest here because it's like a cushion, like a pillow. Had strong muscle. So it was very soft. So he Guru put his head there and rested. In the meantime, a scorpion came. Scorpion, very little, but very poisonous, can kill you. So the scorpion started to stitch Karna. But Karna thought, I cannot move myself or cry out now out of pain. Because otherwise my Guru Maharaj will wake up, right? So he was very, very cautious about not to wake up Guru. But then when the time came when Parushuram awoke, he saw blood flowing everywhere. His disciple's leg was completely swollen. What happened? A scorpion bite me. Oh, you are not a Brahmana. You must be a Kshatriya. You cheated me. Because no Brahmana can tolerate a bite from the thorn of a scorpion, He would scream up to the sky, And he cursed him. So they say that he was cursed, that he will forget the mantra in the time when he is needing it on the battle. The mantra what he needed. So therefore, Kshatriya is very tolerant. He's very, he's not weakling. He's very heroic. And he has great power. Great, power, very, very great influence. He's very, that means if a kshatriya appears, you know, he has such an aura, such an powerful aura or influence that comes from his body. Such a self-esteem. No complex, you know, no fear in his in face or any I would say any emotional to something that is around him. You know, he's completely sober. Very, very. It's called in Sanskrit tejas. Tejas. That means he was very influential, powerful. And also powerful in his whole present, in his personality. Nowadays people also go in school to learn that this kind of self-esteem and power, you know. But for what? For your own sense gratification, for your own success in material life, you know. But the kshatriya was trained to be powerful so that he could bring out evil influence from the society to get rid of them. He would not tolerate any bad influence, but it was adharma. Like for example, when Maharaj Parikshit was encountering Kali, Kali Yuga, he was a Shudra in disguise. And he wanted to kill cow and bull. He caught already three legs of the bull, Dharma. So when Parikshit Maharaj saw that in his kingdom, he thought, how is this possible? How is this possible? I don't believe my eyes that such a personality is in my kingdom and he is harming a bull and cow. Cutting off leg of the bull. So his eyes became very fiery red, you know. He could not tolerate. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, you know, a kshatriya, he cannot tolerate deviation. He cannot tolerate adharma. Because if he sees something adharmic or against the dharmic rules, in his country, in his kingdom, immediately takes the sword. He becomes angry. He's not sentimental to get rid of this culprit and kill him and punish him immediately. Nowadays, no. If he would tolerate, if the king or government tolerates culprits like that, killing cows and perform so many adharmic activities, what will happen? Everyone becomes infected by adharma. Therefore, adharma has to be under control of powerful king. That's the king's duty. With the brahmanas together, it's a good team. Unfortunately, Kali Yuga, Brahmanas and Kshatriyas not good together anymore. Kshatriyas lost respect to Brahmanas and Brahmanas also lost respect to Kshatriyas. It happened directly after Kali Yuga entered. After Krishna disappeared from this world, this relationship and cooperation of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, and then what to speak of Vaishyas and Shudras. And the whole society became completely corrupted, became completely degraded, because the kshatriyas and the brahmanas, the head and the arms, the most important part of the body, became degraded. They didn't follow themselves dharma anymore. Nowadays, therefore it is said, in Kali Yuga there is no kshatriya and brahmanas anymore, practically. Although they are born in such families. But you see, and their symptoms, and their activities, guna and karma, and their habits, that are actually not kshatriya and brahmana, that are actually shudra. They are all servant of somebody. and servant especially of money. Servant for sense gratification. But the Kshatriya and Brahmanas, they were not after money. If money was there, you know, they engaged in the service, in their activities for protecting the kingdom and of culprits and of bad elements, adharmic elements, to get them rid of them. Because they are like a cancer, like an infective disease. If you tolerate adharma, then whole country becomes adharma in very short time. Because bad conduct, bad examples and characters are easily accepted by the people than the good one. That's the nature. One easily accepts the bad elements than the good ones, because the good one we have to endeavor for it. We have to work hard for it, to train good conduct, truthfulness, austerity, sense of mind control, studying scriptures, self-control, chastity to a guru, follow guru instructions, worshipping the Lord. This is general rules by the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas of all the higher castes, because in this way Dharma is protected and introduced and becomes very strong in the society. So therefore a Kshatriya has great resources, he has great powers, great influence. He will not tolerate anything that is not in harmony or in correspondence with the Dharma Shastra or with the scriptures by Dharma, Manu Samhita, Vedic literature, Vedic statements. He immediately has to do it. Otherwise, if he will not do it, he cannot be a king. He's not a Kshatriya if he closes an eyes in so-called peace and tolerance. Okay, I close eye before you, I let you go. But don't do it anymore. So he's not doing that. He will punish him. And his tritir, that means he's very determined in his activities, in his duty. That was Arjuna's quality, for example. He was very determined. He wanted to become. He was very ambitious. I want to become the best archer. So his guru Drona told one time to his servant, "Please always take care, you know, that when Arjuna, who was in his Gurukula, with all the other Kauravas together, take care that when Arjuna is eating in the evening, that the light is never going out, that the candle is never extinguished." But one time, you know, there was a storm, and the candle was extinguished by the storm, and Arjuna was eating, and he started to eat still as without light. So he got the enlightenment: if I can eat without light and find them out, to put the food in, that means I can also release arrows in the night without seeing the target. And then from that time on he started to train in the night to shoot the targets, you know, with bow and arrow. And when his Guru Maharaj heard a bit, middle in the night, so Drona wakes up, you know, comes out of the house, and what he's seeing, Arjuna is exercising, training with bow and arrow, shooting on target without looking at it, just by sound. So he embraced him hardly, because Guru is very pleased when he sees that the disciple is very, determined in his study, very eager. So he embraced him and he blessed him, because there's nothing else, you know. If you can please Guru and he will give you a blessing, that's it. So Guru gave him blessing, you know, that there was never an archer like you in the past, not now, and also not in the future. You will become the best. And several times, actually, Arjuna proved his quality of the best Kshatriyas of all the disciples of Drona. Because one time Drona was attacked by a crocodile. Although he was powerful enough, because he was the best of the Kshatriya teachers at that time. Martial teachers of Dhanurveda. There was nobody like him, you know. So he was strong enough to get rid of this crocodile or alligator. Was no problem for him. But he was calling, "Help! Help! Help! Crocodile is biting me!" And all the Kauravas didn't know what to do. And it was Arjuna who released the arrow and shot and killed the alligator. So when Guru was so pleased again with Arjuna, that again he gave him an embrace, a warm embrace and blessing. So Arjuna got so many blessings. But one time when the princess went to the forest, for picnic and maybe a little hunting, because they have to train their hunting, shooting on targets, not for the sake of killing animals, but for the sake of training. So they went to the forest, and they had a dog with them. A dog was with them. And they were hunting and running after the animals. But then this dog went astray. And then he came to a place, you know, there was one hunter. He had a leopard skin on his body. He was very fiercely looking and on chasing after animals to kill animals. And he saw this dog. Dog was barking. But before because there was a strange element in the forest, you know, to call the Kauravas, you know, come, here is something, you know, you have to shoot. He thought maybe it was an animal. But before he could even bark, he opened his mouth. He had 7 arrows in his mouth, shot through his mouth. 7 arrows. It was like a scissor, you know, he could not move the mouth anymore. So the dog, you know, with the tail inside, you know, he ran away, and he went to the Kauravas, to Arjuna and Pandavas, and when Arjuna and the Pandavas saw everyone, when they saw that kind of wonderful artwork of archer, and they became amazed. They were amazed, you know. That wondered, you know, who is that? Arjuna, I thought, I cannot do this. My teacher, he gave me blessing. I'm the best of archer. But I see here is somebody better than myself. So he went to his guru, Drona, a great doubt in head. And he asked him, "Who is that? You promised me I will be the best archer in the whole world. So how is it, you know, that somebody is better than me?" So Drona said, "Okay, let's go and look who that could be." So and he met this hunter. He was actually a Nishada, from the Nishada race. Dark hunter, forest, jungle people, you know, who is just living there, shooting animals like that. And it was very interesting. Actually, Drona, he recognized that person. Because he one time, he came to him to ask him to become his disciple. So Drona asked him, "What is your varna?" So the dark man, little dark man, he told him, "I'm a Nishada. I'm the son of such and such, the king of the Nishadas." "Oh no, no. I cannot accept Nishada. Because I'm the trainer here, I'm the guru of the highest elite of Kshatriyas. what they would think about me, what they would say about me if I would train sudden, if I start to suddenly accepting Nishadas to train them." So he rejected him. He rejected him. The name of that was Ekalabhya, Nishada. Ekalabhya. So but this Ekalabhya, he didn't give up. He was so determined. Although he was a Nishada, but he wanted to become a Kshatriya. He wanted to become a warrior, like Arjuna, or even better than him. So he started to make a murti of Drona, made of clay. Like demigods, demigod murtis, made from clay, from Ganga or Yamuna, making clay murtis, worshipping, puja. So this Ekalabhya, he started to worship Dronacharya in murti form. And he learned everything from that murti because of worshipping of his guru. Although Guru didn't accept him, he actually rejected him. So when Drona, he came, he recognized Ekalabhya. "Ah, it's you." And Ekalabhya, when he saw his teacher, immediately approached him and offered dandavat, pranam, touching his feet. He was so happy. "Oh my Guru Maharaj, I'm so happy to see you. How can I serve you?" So Drona asked him, "Was that your work to shoot 7 arrows through the mouth of this dog?" He said, "Yes." "Oh, from whom you learned that?" "Oh, from you. It's all your mercy, Guru Maharaj." "I'm your Guru Maharaj." "Oh, acha. That means you have to give me dakshina, Guru dakshina." So, "I'm ready to give you everything. What do you want?" So Drona asked him, I want that you offer me the right thumb of your hand. That means from your right hand, the thumb you have to cut and offer me." "Oh, no problem, Guru Maharaj." And he took an arrow who had a half moon form, and he cut off his tongue and offered to the feet of his guru. Guru said, "Thank you very much." And then he left. Ekalabhya, from that time on, he tried again to shoot with bow and arrow, but he saw he became handicapped because the thumb is the most important part. Even left hand or right hand, you know, he could not use the bow and arrow in the same expert way as before. So anyway, there's a lot of discussion about this Ekalabhya story. Was it right? Was it wrong? It is clear that Ekalabhya, he was a Nishada, although he had an appreciation of Drona as a guru. He had a proper attitude as a disciple. He was very dedicated, surrendered. But his motivation was not so clear. His motivation was he wanted to be better than Arjuna. He wanted to be a great hero like Arjuna, or even better. So that I can show the whole world, you know. It's me. So that was a false ego. In Arjuna there was no false ego for self-aggrandizement. partner that I'm the best for myself. Because Arjuna, he was a son of the Kuru line, Puru dynasty. So he was, proper conduct, proper motivation, proper dharma, follower of dharma. Nishadas, they don't follow dharma, they follow adharma. They're killing so many animals. Of course, for them it's all right because that's their birthright. But they're not, because they don't belong to the civilized system of Varnashrama. The problem is if such persons will become in power or very famous, they will not do good for the people. They will only create harm. They will not protect dharma. And therefore it was proper that Drona rejected him, because he was wrongly motivated and he was not qualified to become a real kshatriya in his mentality. In his gains, he had not his qualification. As an example of a cobbler, shoemaker. A shoemaker, a cobbler, he became once a king. So the minister came and asked him, what kind of instruction you give? So the cobbler, he told, from now on, all the money should be printed in form of leather. Leather, Because that's the only thing what he knew, how to produce shoes from leather, from the skin of animals. So he told, from now on, all the money should be made of skin of animals. So the ministers understood, he's not a proper king, because he's a king in dress, but he has a cobbler or a shoemaker mentality. So he's not okay. So he's very determined. He's very resourceful. That means he's not a beggar. He has many kings and opulences on his feet. Everyone is surrendered. Therefore, when King Yudhishthira became established as the king of the world, Krishna wanted the Rajasuya Yagya is performed, Ashvamedha Yagya is performed, because that shows, that the king is resourceful. He's very influential and very... he's not a beggar. He's not a poor man. And he is courageous in the battle. Yudha means he's courageous in the battle. His generosity is very great. Generous, that means whoever comes to him, he will give even his own body. Sometimes we hear somebody is given. Like Shivi Maharaj, he became famous as somebody, as a king, who was even ready to offer his body to a turtle or to some bird. But was only a test for him to show his glories of generosity. And he's a great leader. These are the natural qualities of a kshatriya. So in the 7th canto, 11th chapter, text 12, there's a similar list. Sauryam, Viryam, Tritis, Tejas, Tyagas, Chatma, Chaya, Kshama, Pramanyata, Prasadascha, Satyamcha, Kshatra, Lakshanam. To be influential in battle, unconquerable, patient, challenging, and charitable, to control the bodily necessities, to be forgiving, to be attached to the Brahminical nature or culture, and to be always jolly and truthful. These are the symptoms of a kshatriya. So Arjuna was such a kshatriya. But Krishna is chastising him. He's his guru now. And he tells him, this is not proper for you, that you are lamenting now, that you are crying, that you are shivering because of sympathy to kill your kinsmen and superiors. This is wrong sentiment. This is on the bodily platform. This is not according to your Svadharma as a Kshatriya, because every Varna has a Svadharma. That means a nature. Like for a Kshatriya is in the mode of passion, so that is naturally he is very bold, he's very courageous, very awake, challenging, unconquerable, very influential in battle. So he has all these qualities. These are in his program. Since birth, Svadharma. This is called Svadharma. And Prabhupada says, Dharma cannot be changed. Because it is your nature. Therefore, later on in Bhagavad Gita 18:47, Krishna says, it is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. So again, this is Svadharma is enforced here by Krishna. Better to engage in your own Svadharma than to follow someone else's Svadharma, even perfectly. Better be perform your Svadharma imperfectly than someone else's Svadharma perfect. So Arjuna wanted to accept the profession from someone else, of a Brahmana, to renounce. But Prabhupada writes in the purport, for a Kshatriya renunciation, sannyas is not possible. They don't take sannyas. Kshatriya will maybe take vanaprastha, going in the forest to retire with his wife, sometimes alone, sometimes with his wife. But he's not accepting sannyas. He's not become a renunciate like a sannyasi, completely renouncing his duties. So Kshatriya is very duty bound. He follows his occupation. For that he is trained, he has that in his blood, and he's never deviating from that. He never tries to change now, because now out of fashion, maybe I like to accept another profession. No, he stays to that profession. Because in this way, by the strong varnas of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, these occupations are teached since birth by a family who follows such occupations. So naturally the child grows up in this environment and becomes a very good businessman or kshatriya or brahmana or even shudra. It's all quality. And Prabhupada also is pointing out there are two kinds of Svadharma. That means the Svadharma occupation of your Varna, according to your nature and the family you're grown in, or according to Guna and Karma. Even if you're not born in it, you can be Kshatriya, Brahmana, or whatever. According to Narad Muni, in the Bhagavatam, he states that statement. And Brahmana and the Kshatriya. And therefore everyone is following these certain rules of Kshatriya, or Brahmana, or Vaishya, according to his nature, this Asvadharma. And another Svadharma is, if you become free of the bodily concept of life, if you realize that I'm spirit soul, you become an Atmavan or an Atmagya, that means knower of Atma, Atmarama, become happy in Atma, then you learn how to actually engage in your Svadharma as a soul. If we are on the bodily concept, we must accept Varna and Ashrama. It's must. It's sinful in the cultured life or society if we are not accepting proper Varna and Ashrama. There's nothing between. There's nothing between. You have to be Brahmachari, Sannyasi, Grihastha, Vanaprastha. You have to be Shudra, Vaishya, Brahmana, or Kshatriya. There's nothing between. So that means we have to be trained in one's occupation if we are still on the bodily concept of life. And if you are gradually becoming transcendental or detached from the bodily concept of life, receiving higher knowledge, Atmagya, of self-realization or of Krishna consciousness in bhakti, then you are trained according to the soul's dharma to be an eternal servant of Krishna. This is the soul's dharma. Jivera svarupai krishnera nityadas. That's a statement by Prabhupada from one lecture. This way or that way, you must have to fight. If you think that you are not in the bodily concept of life, then it is my order, you must fight. If you think that you are in bodily concept of life, then you are a kshatriya, you must fight. Both ways you have to fight. This is Krishna's conclusion. So Krishna's conclusion is, if you are in the bodily concept of life, you have to fight according to the laws and the kshatriya codex. You have to fight. You cannot run away. You cannot stop. You cannot become ahimsa. For kshatriya, there is no ahimsa. If he is in contrary, it is called himsa. It's violence if he is not fighting against when there is an opportunity to fight for dharma. And there was a problem because there were so many adharmic elements in Kurukshetra arrived there against the Pandavas and against Krishna, headed by Duryodhan and so on. There were adharma elements in it. They were not surrendered to Krishna. They were not surrendered to the Supreme Lord. They didn't actually listen to the Lord. They only had self-interest. They were very egoistic. Therefore, Krishna decided they all have to die. Only the Pandavas and a few others will survive. Because Krishna's Kala is the time. So he decided like that. So and therefore, he said, if we are following Kshatriya codex, we have to fight. And if you are a devotee, you have to fight under Krishna's instruction. Like Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. I'm not a Sannyasi, a Brahmachari, Grihastha, or Vanaprastha. So what I am? I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. Gopi Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Anu Dasa. Gopi Kamalayo. Gopi Partha Kamalayo. So I'm the servant of Lord Krishna. This is my eternal occupation. And if one has if one accepts this occupation, who is identical with your soul's nature to serve Krishna, then you're not obliged anymore to fulfill your obligations to the sages, forefathers, demigods, etc. and society, because you're pleasing the Supreme Lord, who is the root of everything. So if you're watering the root, naturally everything of the tree will become nourished. So you don't have to satisfy each and every part of the tree. You only have to satisfy Krishna. Tasmin tushta jagat tushta. So if Krishna is satisfied, then everything will be fine. And Krishna came again in Kali Yuga as Sankirtan Purusha, as the inaugurator of the Sankirtan movement, Sankirtan Pita, and he set the seed of the tree of Bhakti, desire tree, and he ordered all his descendants, you know, to take these fruits of love of Godhead and distribute it whomever you meet, wherever you go. It's the birthright of everyone born in Bharatvarsha to take up this mission of Lord Chaitanya to spread Krishna consciousness, to share these fruits of love to Krishna to others. Prema Pala Dana. Prema Pala. This Prema Pala, this fruit of Prema, should be distributed, eat as and relish and distributed. That is Lord Chaitanya's order for the benefit of others. There's two kinds of motivation, Shreya and Prayas. Prayas means selfish. I only do whatever I like, whatever fits to me. But Shreya, Krishna therefore asks, you know, Arjuna, work for the Shreya, for the ultimate good. Not only for yourself, what you think in your mind, but the ultimate best thing to do for the society, for the people. Etavachan vasapalyam dehinam iha dehishu pranar arta diyavacha shreya acharanam sada. So that is Lord Chaitanya's instruction. By quoting Lord Krishna, when he entered the forest, he was saw all the trees full with fruits and flowers, and he was telling, just see these trees, they're so charitable, so munificent, they're giving them free, humble, they're bowing down, they're giving so much fruits. They're not useless trees. Like when Prabhupada came to America, he asked, what kind of trees are these? And if they have fruits, and then they say, no fruits. They say, oh, not so good trees. The better to have trees with fruits, because they bow down and they give so much nourishment for the people to eat. So they're very munificent, very great souls, these kind of trees. They're very pious. And Lord Chaitanya told that everyone should become like such a tree and offer their body, their possessions, their prana, artha, diya, vacha, their words, their intelligence, for the ultimate benefit, shreya achara, for the ultimate benefit of the people and of the conditioned soul, so that they can find about the supreme goal of life. Prema Panchama Purusharta, Prema Pumato Mahan. So this is the duty we receive from Lord Vishvambar, Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada said, we are also a branch of that desire tree. ISKCON is also a branch. So if we want to be nourished and maintained by the transcendental Mali, the gardener of that tree, see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we have to execute his order and fight. Fight not with weapons, because Lord Chaitanya didn't brought weapon, he brought only the holy name. Holy name and the scriptures and the devotional qualities of the devotees who are following Lord Chaitanya. With these kind of weapons, devotees travel throughout the whole world, every town and village, and try to make people happy and successful by giving them information about Krishna consciousness. So this is our duty. This is Svadharma of those who gave up material occupations and are taking up the spiritual occupation to be eternal servants of Lord Chaitanya or Krishna. And this is ultimately also the occupation of everyone who is following Varna and Ashrama. even if they're in the material concept, because if Varnashandharma is not linked up with the Supreme Lord to satisfy him, Haritoshanam, Samsidhir Haritoshanam, so that's actually meant, Varnashram is meant to satisfy Lord Hari. We also use our occupation for giving example to the people, although it's not transcendental in serving and be steady in one's occupation, and also in the same time try to become a devotee by following karma yoga in a favorable way in relation with bhakti. Bhakti mixed with karma, bhakti mixed with jnana. And ultimately, if we come from karma, bhakti, mishra, or jnana, bhakti, mishra, we can come to the shuddha bhakti, unmixed with karma and jnana, and become purely attached to Krishna, in love to him and in service to him. Without fulfilling our, following our nature, bodily nature, psychological nature, in what we received from in this life, from previous karma, without using this nature in Krishna's service, it's very difficult to become transcendental and purified. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Any question? Without microphone? Without.
Kshatriyas go to forest and kill tiger. They used to bear the tiger's meat.
And what was also an interesting point is that if a kshatriya kills animals, or if he kills the people on the battlefield out of his duty, it is the same result as the brahmanas who are offering yagya or sacrifices in the fire yagya by killing an animal to uplift it to the heavenly planets. So that means the result is the same. If you follow kshatriya dharma or brahmana dharma, if you follow this duty, then you become purified and uplifted. And that's the purpose of the Vedic program, to become uplifted, not to become degraded. If you're not following Vedic statements and culture, then we become degraded. If we're following, then we become uplifted, gradually become more and more uplifted, and get more and more opportunities, so that we can ultimately attain the supreme perfection of life. Going to Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna.